It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
The more America achieves, the more hateful and enraged these crazy Democrats become. Crazy. They're crazy. I hate to talk about him. You know why? I don't think the guy's got a chance. Sleepy Joe, I don't think he's got a chance. Last week, a very dumb Democrat candidate for president, that's the end of him in this state, pledged to revoke the tax-exempt status of many churches and religious charities. And by the way, that was after a few weeks ago he said, excuse me, we're going to take your guns away. That doesn't work well. That crazy Nancy, she is crazy. And Shifty Schiff, how about this guy? You know, I really don't believe anymore that they love our country. I don't believe it.
That was President Trump in Dallas, Texas, over the weekend. There were 20,000 people, as I understand it, that packed the stadium and 30,000 waiting outside or just listening outside. It's just amazing. Whoever, I asked for that montage, and I think that was from another outlet. And, of course, I have to tell you, having been in the audience when he's speaking, if you want to make him sound foolish and shallow, then you pick out those things that he says that are, you know, where he's like a brawler. But, you know, mixed in with all of that are some very thoughtful, common sense, profound statements. And some of those were missing in that montage. But honestly, it's the president wowed the crowd in Dallas as he did in Minneapolis a few days before that. And he does that because he is speaking the truth. It isn't because he's a Pied Piper. It isn't because there's something magic about him. He does have a great presence. There's no question about it. When he walks out on the stage, you notice him. He has that, what we call in the entertainment field, the Q factor. He has a very high Q factor. That's when you notice people. You notice them in a room. You notice them in a crowd. They take command of a stage. That's a high Q factor. And that's what President Trump has. And he is engaging, and he's funny. But he's also very serious, and he also makes a lot of sense. And so that's what happened in Dallas. Some of you probably might have been there. Actually, be fun. I'm going to spontaneously say, if you were at that rally in Dallas, or if you're listening and you were at the one in Minneapolis, I don't think anyone's listening from Minneapolis, to my knowledge, but you never know. Our phone number, if we can do this, is 888-589-8840. Any reason why we can't open the phone lines, Rob, for a second? Okay, so 888-589-8840. We just need to unblock them so people can call. If you were at the rally, it'd be great to hear what you think about what happened in Dallas or Minneapolis last week. I see it's still blocked, you guys, so we better unblock those phone lines so people can call. Let me just say that, of course, the House was kind of stalled for a few days because Elijah Cummings passed away. And, you know, in reflecting on his death, I had forgotten Elijah Cummings is the Democrat that was leading that misuse of the IRS to go after Tea Party and conservative groups. That was Elijah Cummings. Elijah Cummings, I know no one wants to. At some point, we need to talk about, honestly, the things that he's done. He married a very young wife in 2008, and now it looks as though she wants to run for his seat. Her name is Maya Rocky Moore. And I'm not prepared to talk about all the things involving them. I'm sure people will be writing about this, but she wants to run for his seat. She is the chairwoman of the Maryland Democratic Party. So that's what's happening with Elijah Cummings. But because of his death, of course, the Democrats have been a little bit stymied in their pursuit of the impeachment inquiry, but not for long, because you can imagine they'll hit the ground running. Meanwhile, the Republicans have issued a they are trying to censure Adam Schiff because he issued and read or recited a caricature of the president's phone call with the Ukrainian president. It was unbelievable. It really was. And so 173 House GOP lawmakers have co-sponsored a bill, which was crafted by House Freedom Caucus chairman. He's the new chairman, Andy Biggs, from Arizona. It's Resolution 604. But the part I want you to know about, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Steve Scalise, and Liz Cheney, they're all part of the leadership, are sponsoring this. But there are several, I say 23 Republicans, who have yet to co-sponsor this bill to condemn Schiff. And I'm going to tell you who they are, because some of them are, I'm not going to tell you all of them, but I'm going to tell you a lot of them, because a lot of them are from areas where you live. They're your congresspeople. Martha Roby, Alabama. Ken Buck, Colorado. Mario Diaz-Balart, Florida. I'm skipping. Rodney Davis, Illinois. That's for some of you guys in Southern Illinois. He has not signed on to this. Greg Pence. This says Illinois, but I think Pence is from Indiana. I think this is a mistake. I could be wrong. Maybe there are two Pences now in the House from that area, but I don't think so. Hal Rogers of Illinois. Fred Upton from Michigan. Ann Wagner of Missouri. Chris Smith, New Jersey. Peter King, New York. I'm skipping down. Mike Turner, Ohio. Greg Walden in Oregon. We have listeners all of these places. Dusty Johnson of South Dakota. Michael McCall of Texas. Mac Thornberry of Texas. And Kathy McMorris Rogers of Washington State. Those are some of them. They are the ones who have not voted or have not signed on the censure movement of Adam Schiff, and they probably should hear from you. That doesn't mean they're opposed to it. It may mean they just haven't gotten around to it, but it also might mean that they're dragging their feet for a purpose. And so there's 23 of them, and they have not backed that movement to censure Adam Schiff. If you think Adam Schiff should be censored, then you might want to weigh in on that. I want to go to the phones because I promised. Chris was at the rally in Dallas. I think it was Friday night. Chris, was it Friday night?
No, it was Thursday. Actually,
Thursday. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so what was it like?
It was amazing. It was fantastic. I could not explain to you how enthusiastic everybody was. I was at the Republican office before buying T-shirts, and people there said, if you've never been, please go. I didn't know what they meant by that. When I got there, I experienced it. I now have the Trump rally fever. It is so fabulous and exciting. He's entertaining. He just got everybody excited. And we saw people from the Border News Network, such as Anthony. And I got my picture taken with Terrence K. Williams. He was there. If you go to Terrence K. Williams, he was with the Border Network nurse, and he explained it perfectly. He said, it was amazing. This was my first Trump rally. And if you've never been to one, you really need to go to one. It's just fantastic. Everybody in Dallas is here. And he said, don't listen to the news, because they say there's nobody here. Everybody's here. Everybody in Dallas is here. But he was just wonderful and expressed it just perfectly. It was phenomenal.
Let me ask you a question. Let me push back a little bit. You know, when I was a girl, kids used to love to go to rock concerts, and they were amazing, too. And they would go into a frenzy and get so excited, you know, name a band, and that's what they would do. Is there a distinction for you? I mean, was this just an emotional high? Why can you, even in your own mind, reason why this was such a high for you?
What was wonderful is we would stand in line. We were quite early, and there were other Trump supporters, people just like you. You realize you weren't the only one in the world where you couldn't walk out with your Trump shirt on, Trump hat. And here we all are realizing how they were wonderful people. We all had the same in common values. We all had some cool shirts on. We never fought with each other or pushed in line. We had common bounds. We had common stories. It was just wonderful just being with people who had the same enthusiasm and love for our President Trump that you just don't see in this country, that you don't just go into Walmart and see people talk to you and you can't express it. Yeah. So we had an euphoria that you'll just never get again until I go back to my next Trump rally.
I understand he's going to be doing, he's going to be out there a lot. So you're going to have a chance. Chris, thanks a lot. Well said. Let's go to Agnes in Texas. Hello, Agnes. You were there too?
Oh, yes. Good morning.
Good morning. So,
how are you?
I'm good. So what did you think, Agnes? Do you agree with Chris? Was it a good experience for you?
First of all, let me just tell you, thank you for everything you do. I mean, God bless y'all, American Family Radio. You guys are absolutely amazing.
Thank you, Agnes.
I pray to God for y'all every day. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And let me tell you, this was my very first political rally. And let me just tell everybody who has never been to a Trump rally, please, please, please go.
Because?
This was one of those, experiences in my life I would never, ever forget, ever. As a Christian woman, as a black woman, you know, the media tells us black people do not support this president. Lie.
Were there black people, Agnes, at the rally besides you?
Oh, honey, yes, yes. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I could not believe my eyes. Okay, so we got over there at the American Airlines Center's at about 9:30-ish in the morning. Well, I got there. My friends had already been there. They drove from Houston. They were already there before I got there. Okay, people slept in line. People slept over there just to be there, right? We have black people everywhere. Immigrant, again, I'm not just black. I am a black immigrant from Africa. And I couldn't tell you how many immigrants that were out there supporting this president.
Agnes,
was unbelievable.
Agnes, what did he say? What did he say? Other than just the experience of the euphoria of being with people who are excited and love this country, I do understand that. But what did he say that resonated with you, that you said, yes, I believe that too?
Well, I mean, again, coming from Africa, you know, seeing, you know, life in Africa and then coming to America, looking at the opportunities this great nation has to offer me as a black woman coming from a whole different continent in it, you know, and just hearing him and talk about how much he loved this country, okay? When President Trump stands out there and says America will never be a socialist nation, that right there resonated with me. Because, again, looking at where I came from, where life is nothing close to what America has had to offer me since I've been here. And when he sits there and says America will never turn into basically where I came from, that resonated with me as a woman, as a American citizen.
Yeah. Yeah, Agnes, that thrills me too. And you know what? I have to confess to you that it thrills me to hear you say that. And it occurs to me, I talk a lot about illegal immigration. I'm very upset. I hate what I see happening to this country. But I am reminded once again that people like you really are the lifeblood. It's almost like a new believer. It's like, because you're seeing with new eyes the freedoms that we have, and you are passionate to defend them because you know what it's like not to have them. And so you are in many ways the lifeblood. There's no question about that. And so, Agnes, it's great to hear from you. What I never counted on having a call like this, and I'm delighted. And so welcome to this country, and I know that you're going to make a tremendous contribution in your life here with us. Thank you, Agnes.
Let me just say something real quick, okay?
Yes.
So I got over there, and I actually had my phone ready to do my live feed, obviously, because we know what the news media does. They lie. I have so many live videos. One of them has been shared and viewed over 108,000 times.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you should send that to us, sandy@afr.net. Send it to us, sandy@afr.net.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Agnes, we're getting up here. I got to say goodbye. But thank you. It's great to hear from you. Thanks for listening. And let me say to all of you, oh, my gosh, we did so well on our share-a-thon because of you last week. We reached our pledge, our goal, and then some. And you listeners to this show made a huge contribution. In the hour on Friday, we got 364 pledges in 1 hour alone. Thank you. Thank you. Sandy Rios in the morning.
That changed my life, just from that ultrasound picture.
When it comes to choice, the Ministry of Preborn offers the ultimate life-saving choice by providing a free ultrasound. When an abortion-minded woman sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to keep growing, and I'm going to be a great mom.
Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, and their mission is to help save babies' lives and souls through love and compassion and the message of Jesus Christ. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Dan Giorgiani, Principal Deputy Solicitor of the Interior Department. Mr. Giorgiani provides advice, counsel, and legal representation to the department. Proverbs 19:20 reminds us of the importance of wise counsel. Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Dan Giorgiani as he provides legal counsel within the Department of the Interior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ at liberty.edu/starnes.
More often than not, the newspapers are filled with stories about teenagers behaving badly. But today, I want to tell you about some teens who are doing something good. Sam Heiss and Preston Reed are sophomores at Jasper High School in Alabama. In honor of National Custodial Workers Day, they decided to honor their school custodian, Travis Kennedy, the man they call Travis the Janitor. The boys decided to buy Travis a brand new pickup truck. They launched a GoFundMe page with a $10 donation, and like the story of the loaves and fishes, that $10 has grown to more than $16,000, most of the donations coming from kids. Sam and Preston say they look up to Travis the janitor as a role model, a man of humility, a Christian man. If you'd like to help buy Travis the janitor that brand new truck, you can check out ToddStarnes.com.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
So I believe that anyone listening to what you said in that briefing could come to only one conclusion. You were asked specifically by Jonathan Carl, was investigating Democrats one of the conditions for holding up the aid? Was that part of the quid pro quo? And you said it happens all the time. You know, I hate to go through this, but you said what you said. And the fact is, after that exchange with Jonathan Carl, you were asked another time why the aid was held up. What was the condition for the aid? And you didn't mention two conditions. You mentioned three conditions. In the briefing, you flatly denied any connection between holding up the aid and investigating Joe Biden and his son, right?
Correct.
Okay. In his phone call with President Zelensky, however, President Trump specifically mentions the Bidens. Do me a favor. Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani pushed all summer for Ukraine to announce it was investigating Burisma, the company that paid Hunter Biden. And a former NSC official testified this week before Congress, John Bolton was so disturbed by the way you were directing people to work with Rudy Giuliani, he said, quote, I am not part of whatever drug deal, he was speaking metaphorically, of whatever drug deal Sondland, a U.S. diplomat, and Mulvaney are cooking up. No question. You were following the president's orders, but your fingerprints are all over linking aid to Ukraine with investigating the Biden. After the briefing and all the blowback and the criticism, did you ever offer or think to offer the president your resignation?
No, absolutely not.
Was that ever discussed?
Absolutely, positively not.
I wanted you to hear Chris Wallace from yesterday because that's how Chris interviews conservatives. You know, I remember when Barack Obama was on his show, when Hillary Clinton was on his show, when various other Democrats on his show, he saw even some dictators from enemy governments who are interviewed by Chris Wallace are not greeted with the same hostility as conservatives who work certainly for the Trump administration. I was pretty ticked off yesterday when Chris did a show and interviewed Mick Mulvaney, who is the chief of staff for President Trump. And I want to kind of explain, you know, Washington just goes off the rails about stuff. While we're having our normal lives, this is what's upsetting them. Mick Mulvaney was in a press conference just last week. In fact, I'll just give you a taste of it. This is supposedly what Mick Mulvaney did. They're claiming that he admitted there was a quid pro quo, that President Trump promised the Ukrainian president that he would withdraw aid if he didn't investigate Joe Biden. That's what the narrative is. It's not true. It's not true. But then they're saying that Mick Mulvaney was at a press conference and he admitted it. He admitted it. So that's what Washington is going crazy over. This is a little touch of Mick Mulvaney's press conference that started this firestorm. Let's listen. It's clip 7.
The demand for an investigation into the Democrats was part of the reason that he was ordered to withhold funding to Ukraine.
The look back to what happened in 2016 certainly was part of the thing that he was worried about in corruption with that nation. Then that is absolutely appropriate.
Just to clarify and to follow up on that question. So when you're saying that politics is going to be involved, the question here is not just about a political decisions about how you want to run the government. This is about investigating political opponents. Are you saying
now, the DNC server,
that it's okay for the U.S. government to hold up aid and require a foreign government to investigate political opponents of the president?
Now, you're talking about looking forward to the next election.
We're talking the DNC is still involved in this next election. Is that not correct?
So wait a second. So there's hold on a second. Now, let me ask you.
Investigate the DNC.
So
right?
Let's look at this.
Is the DNC political?
There's an ongoing. There's an ongoing investigation by our Department of Justice into the 2016 election. I can't remember the person's name. Durham, okay? That's an ongoing investigation, right? So you're saying the President of the United States, the chief law enforcement person, cannot ask somebody to cooperate with an ongoing public investigation into wrongdoing? That's just bizarre to me that you would think that you can't do that.
And so you would say that it's fine to ask about the DNC, but not about Biden? So Biden is running for the Democratic nomination, right? That's for 2020.
That's a hypothetical because that did not happen here.
No, but
I would ask you.
No. On the call, the president did ask about investigating the Bidens. Are you saying that the money that was held up, that had nothing to do with Biden?
The money held up had absolutely nothing to do with Biden. There's no question. And that was the point I made to you. I was involved with the process by which the money was held up temporarily. Okay. Three issues for that. The corruption in the country, whether or not other countries were participating in the support of the Ukraine, and whether or not they were cooperating in an ongoing investigation with our Department of Justice. That's completely legitimate.
See, the thing of it is, I am belaboring this because this is the issue. This is the phone call over which the Democrats in the House are holding an impeachment inquiry. This is the issue that you're going to be hearing about ad nauseum. They're trying to hold an impeachment vote, they want to, before Thanksgiving. Mitch McConnell has already issued, he's already instructing senators about how to conduct impeachment, an impeachment trial in the Senate. This is happening, and it's over this issue. So Mick Mulvaney is trying to explain to the press, remember in the phone call, you may not, but I'll tell you, the president did not ever threaten to withhold money in that phone call. They held up the money without even the Ukrainian president had no idea they were holding it up because of the three reasons that Mick just said. And by the way, the president can hold up money. Our money under the Clinton State Department, I will never forget, they stopped giving money to countries that did not, first of all, this happened under the Clinton administration first, countries that did not give out birth control or provide abortions were not given American aid. This happened all the time. And under Mrs. Clinton's State Department and Barack Obama's presidency, the net got wider. If you did not support lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual rights and gay marriage, you did not get aid. That's appalling to me. And yet that is standard practice. Aid has always been tied to behavior. But in the past, hopefully it's been good behavior. Don't kill those people that are within your charge. Release these prisoners or else we'll withhold our aid. You know, things like that. That is common practice. But they're trying to make Mulvaney say something that did not happen in that phone call. The president did not threaten to withhold aid if they didn't investigate Joe Biden. It wasn't linked at all. The president talked about the server. And I have talked about this and I will explain it again. The company that went into the Democratic National Committee's server, the one that was hacked, that we were told was hacked by the Russians, wasn't, as far as we could tell, might not have been hacked by the Russians at all, because it was a Ukrainian company, a CrowdStrike, that was hired by the DNC to go into their server and determine who did hack it. The FBI at the time, under the leadership of James Comey, never went into the server. They took CrowdStrike's word for it, publicly declared it was the Russians who hacked it. It's the Russians. And that's what all these intelligence agencies repeated. What do we hear? 27 intelligence agencies have determined. They all looked at CrowdStrike, the Ukrainian company. So President Trump, it appears that the server, whatever CrowdStrike does, that the information is still in Ukraine. The president asked the new president of Ukraine if we could have access to that. He did not say, or else I will withhold his money. Several minutes down in the conversation, after they discussed a lot of other things, the president says, kind of like an, oh, by the way, could you please follow up on Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, Joe Biden's son Hunter, and his membership on the board of Burisma? There's some stuff there that just doesn't pass the smell test, and so could you please look into that? They're two very different issues. And so that was Mick Mulvaney's press conference. But as a result of that conference, the press has now declared to you and me, because we don't pay attention to details, that Mick Mulvaney, the president's chief of staff, is now admitting that there was a quid pro quo, that the president threatened to withhold money if they didn't investigate his Democratic rival. Well, that's not at all what happened. It's just what liars do. They're so good at twisting things. So Chris Wallace, I'm going to go back to him because I want you to hear how he set up his interview with Mick Mulvaney yesterday on Fox News Sunday. This is clip 10. Let's listen.
White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney said the president had a political quid pro quo for U.S. aid to Ukraine. Mulvaney later denied he said it. In a moment, we'll talk with the president's chief of staff, who just flinched when I said that. White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney. Mick, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
Good morning. Yeah, I flinched a little bit because that's what people are saying that I said, but I didn't say that. But I'm looking forward to the conversation.
All right. Let's have the conversation.
Yeah.
Why? Here's my first question. Why did you say in that briefing that President Trump had ordered a quid pro quo that investigating the Democrats, that aid to Ukraine depended on investigating the Democrats? Why'd you say that?
Again, that's not what I said. That's what people said that I said. Here's what I said. I'll say it again, and hopefully people will listen this time. There were two reasons that we held up the aid. We've talked about this at some length. The first one was the rampant corruption in Ukraine. Ukraine, by the way, Chris, is so bad in Ukraine that in 2014, Congress passed a law requiring us to make sure that corruption was moving in the right direction. So corruption's a big deal. Everybody knows it. The president was also concerned about whether or not other nations, specifically European nations, were helping with foreign aid to the Ukraine as well. We've talked about that for quite a while now. I did then mention that in the past, the president had mentioned for me to time about the DNC server. He'd mentioned the DNC server to other people publicly. He even mentioned it to President Zelensky in the phone call, but it wasn't connected to the aid. And that's where I think people got sidetracked this weekend at that press conference.
Yeah, but of course, Chris wasn't having it. And you heard, they actually played these out of order, but you heard how Chris just continually attacked and twisted things. And he cannot be trusted, I have to say. If you are too young to remember his father, Mike Wallace, his father was notorious for his abusive questioning, his investigations that did a lot of damage that were not honest. And Chris is a lot like his dad, and I don't so I listen to Fox News Sunday just because I hardly can stand it. And by the way, yes, I know Chris. I worked at Fox for a long time. I'm not a fan. I don't think he's a fan of mine either, by the way. But I don't trust him, and I think he does a ton of damage. But still, it prevails. And they're talking about, see how they twisted that? The president asked them to look into that server, CrowdStrike, because CrowdStrike is the one that started all this Russian stuff. But the way they twist that is that he wants to investigate the Democrats. Well, yes, I guess in tandem, the people that run the Democratic National Committee and in 2016 were responsible for, you know, housing the server in their offices, they would be, by extension, part of this investigation. But this is an investigation of what started the Russian collusion narrative. How did James Comey not go into that server himself? How did the FBI allow CrowdStrike, a Ukrainian company? Is this a setup? How did this happen? That's what they're investigating. But no, President Trump wants to investigate the Democrats. That's the way the press and Chris Wallace wants to put it. And so just so you're clear, because you're going to be hearing a lot about that. And speaking of media not being real honest about it, it was very interesting to hear CNN having a discussion over a false report of ABC that I played for you last week. Actually, we should play that. This was, well, let's just listen. It's short. It's a clip from ABC about a week ago. Let's listen.
This video, obtained by ABC News, appears to show the fury of the Turkish attack on the border town of Tel Aviv.
A border town bombarded by Turkey's military.
This video right here appearing to show Turkey's military bombing Kurd civilians in a Syrian border town. The Kurds, who fought alongside the U.S. against ISIS. Now, horrific reports of atrocities committed by Turkish-backed fighters on those very allies.
All right, so that's enough of that. But they used that on their ABC World News Tonight. They used it on their morning program. And then we found out it was from a Kentucky gun show. Kentucky gun range gun show. So interestingly enough, CNN decides to take on ABC. And so they're having a back and forth about that. So let's listen to Brian Stelter and his take on this. Let's listen.
Let's talk about the most egregious media error of the week. In fact, one of the most in recent memory. This involves ABC News showing video from a gun range in Kentucky that they said was video of a slaughter in Syria. You can see it was labeled slaughter in Syria. It's actually from a Kentucky gun range. Now, ABC says it regrets the error, but it has not explained what happened, what went wrong here. Elena, why do you think that matters, that the network has not addressed how this happened?
Because I think like any network right now and any group of journalists, you're trying to point out each day that, you know, this president lies often. This president delivers misinformation. You cannot also be a purveyor of said misinformation if you feel your job is to call out the president of the United States for that.
Even if it's an accident.
Of course. It doubly more so to go above and beyond to explain what happened, the processes behind such an egregious error. I mean, I think it does a disservice to other reporters each day who do feel that their job is to go out and report the truth.
Okay, that's enough of that. So that's CNN. Now, interesting to me.
But they won't say what that means.
Okay, no, you could cut this clip. Interesting to me that CNN. CNN is having this pontification on ABC playing this fake clip, and they keep saying, even if it's an accident, it's probably just an accident. I'm sure they didn't mean that. ABC hasn't responded to say, oh, gee, somebody accidentally put that in there. It was, oh, we are so sorry. They have not said that, but CNN is saying they have, you know, must be an accident. So that's how they cover it, and that's how they kind of headed off at the pass, that thing that you might think that ABC actually meant to deceive you by playing this Kentucky gun range footage and telling you it was us, the Syrians fighting, or the Turks fighting against the Kurds. And then CNN last week, it looks like the president now is going to be suing CNN because Project Veritas showed an undercover video last week of the CEO of CNN pushing his staff to vigorously cover the impeachment inquiry. And that the employees have been instructed that that's what they're to focus on, is impeaching the president, which is a little bit biased, don't you think? So now we have CNN criticizing, or kind of covering, actually, for ABC, both of them bringing you fake news. At just living proof right there. It's just amazing. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood
is crying to me from the ground. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. According to the World Health Organization, abortion was the leading cause of death worldwide in 2018. As of December 31st, 2018, 41.9 million babies were murdered in the womb. That's more than the 8.2 million people who died from cancer, more than the 5 million who died from smoking, and more than the 1.7 million who died from HIV/AIDS in 2018 globally combined. Thomas Jefferson once said, "I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. Lord, please strengthen us to abolish this wickedness."
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Friendships is offering an amazing opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, learn relief missions, experience life on the mission field, and become physically fit. Sound like something you're looking for? Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program. Next session begins this September and includes a humanitarian aid mission to Israel. Visit friendships.org or phone 337-433-5022.
Brian will tell us what he's interested in, and Brian's interested in about everything. There's not a story out there that he does not see through a biblical lens. It's not finding content for the program. It's finding which content would be best for that day.
Focal Point with Brian Fisher, weekdays at 1 Central on AFR.
Brian walks into the studio with a stack of papers ready to tackle the issues of the day.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. PG&E, one of the largest utilities in the country, shut down electricity to 34 counties in California out of fear that its power lines might spark new wildfires similar to the ones that killed 95 people last year. The media has been quick to blame global warming, but the intensity of these fires was caused by man, not rising temperatures. For decades, regressive politicians in California have prevented the thinning of California's forests. This has caused a huge fuel load to build up on the forest floor. The lack of logging has caused trees to grow too close together, and logging companies and homeowners have not been allowed to create access roads or fire breaks. So, when a fire starts, it goes up like a Roman candle. God gave man authority over all creation just to prevent destructive fires like this. It's about time we used it.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Deflection is a favorite tool of the hard left and its unlikely Sharia supremacist partners. Those in this red-green axis routinely accuse their adversaries of participating in the very activities in which they themselves engage. A particularly egregious example was the false charge that Donald Trump's campaign colluded with Russia to win the 2016 election. In fact, it was Hillary Clinton's campaign that colluded with Russian intelligence to generate a salacious dossier intended to ensure his defeat. Now, she is accusing Democratic presidential candidates of being Russian assets. If to use a turn of phrase recently employed by Mrs. Clinton's spokesman, the, quote, nesting doll fits, unquote, it seems to fit her far better. After all, as Secretary of State, she shamelessly facilitated the transfer of our national uranium stocks and militarily relevant technology to Russia, while her husband and their foundation profited massively. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Slick, slippery, stealthy. Mitt Romney had us fooled.
Being in Donald Trump's magnificent hotel and having his endorsement is a delight.
Posing as a Republican, he tried to infiltrate Trump's administration as Secretary of State.
President-elect Trump is the very man who can lead us to that better future.
Now his cover's blown. Exposed by news reports as a Democrat's secret asset. Sources say Romney's plotting to take down President Trump with impeachment. Tell Romney, quit colluding with Democrats on impeachment.
Well, that's a tough ad. That was created by Club for Growth. They're running it around the country right now, and President Trump just tweeted it out, Mitt Romney. It is true that he's working against the president, and I think it's very likely true that he's, you know, probably salivating at the thought of impeaching him. I'm sure he's very upset with the personal injury he's received from President Trump's lips. Also, you know, he's called him a failed candidate, and it's really true. I'm not a fan of Mitt Romney, and I don't have a problem with that ad, but it is, I just want you to know about it. It's going to be playing in various states around the country, and because it is, as I said to you before, the Mitch McConnell, already the majority leader in the Senate, is instructing his members how to handle impeachment when it comes there, because they expect it's going to happen right at, before Thanksgiving in the House, that the vote's going to take place in the House. By the way, I'm going to talk to John McLaughlin, the pollster, tomorrow morning, and we're going to talk about the whole issue of why Nancy Pelosi has not called for a vote. That's always been the procedure in impeachment procedures, that you vote. You have a vote in the House on whether to bring articles, whether to even investigate impeachment, whether even to start it in the House. And, of course, Nancy Pelosi won't do that. They would rather just talk about it and damage the president as much as they possibly can. It is really a very rogue operation. They're having testimony in secret, and they're leaking only the parts of the testimony that help their narrative and not the parts that hurt their narrative. We talked about that a bit on Friday. So, by the way, speaking of Mitt Romney, something kind of humorous, I think we'll see if it's humorous. He was doing an interview with the Atlantic, an in-depth interview in which he admitted somehow that he had a Twitter account under a fake name. And then they did some sleuthing. They found out who the fake person was. His fake name on this fake Twitter account is Pierre Delecto. Pierre Delecto. And so there have been lots of jokes exchanged. You know, remember that Anthony Weiner was Carlos Danger, and now Mitt Romney is Pierre Delecto. I'm sure you'll hear about that a lot today. There is got to be some humor in there, but because I don't feel very funny this morning, I can't seem to find it. But anyway, that's happening. I want to tell you lots of really important things right now, and it's really thick, so I'm going to try to do my best to sort of make it as clear as I can and also post a lot of these articles on our Facebook page so that you can read it in more depth. I think you remember, do you happen to remember that we're waiting for a report from the Inspector General on the 2016 election, on what happened? We've been waiting for Michael Horowitz to produce this report for a long time, and people are wondering, why in the world? Why in the world the holdup? We've heard it's coming out Monday. It's coming out next Friday. It's not out yet. Well, it's because it goes through so much vetting. It's, as I understand it now, at the FBI, and so people are saying, what's going on with Christopher Wray? Why does he constantly stall investigations, refuse to turn over documents? And now why is he making sure, doing his best, to redact every single thing he can? At least that's what it seems as though, because the FBI has a chance to redact, so does the State Department, so does anybody, so do individuals. James Comey had the same chance before the Mueller report came out. And so remember that in the Mueller report, I believe only three words were redacted. And the Democrats had a fit, and they said, we need to see the whole report. It's ridiculous. We haven't seen the whole report. This can't be the whole story. And so now we're probably talking about a big redactions, and we'll see how that comes down. Some say that this report is as thick as a telephone book. So we'll just see. I mean, who knows? This is all speculation, but we keep waiting. Why are we waiting? Why hasn't this been out yet? And what exactly is happening? More things on this. You remember Glenn Simpson? Glenn Simpson was the co-founder of Fusion GPS. He has a new book out, and he's sort of telling his own story. And see, this is what happens sometimes when people do things they should not be doing. The way to get around it is to come out first and say it first. And that mutes or blunts the force coming after you, and it sort of sidetracks, gets people off their game, and that's what I think Glenn Simpson's doing. And this is what he's saying. He reports that his firm was hired in the fall of 2015 by Hillary Clinton, the campaign, and the Democratic National Committee to investigate Donald Trump. And that, and by the way, that there's nothing illegal about that. People in campaigns always do opposition research. So that in itself is not a crime. So I'm just telling you. Hillary Clinton's campaign and the Democratic National Committee hired Fusion GPS to investigate Donald Trump, and that the memos about the Christopher Steele dossier, which resulted from that investigation, were sent directly to then-President Barack Obama. Now, this is where it gets kind of stunning. The money used to hire Fusion GPS was laundered through the law firm Perkins Coie. Simpson said in his soon-to-be-released book, It's Crime in Progress. All right, so according to Simpson, after the memos went to Obama, the then-president met in January 2017 with then-FBI Director James Comey, Joe Biden, then-National Security Advisor Susan Rice, then-CIA Director John Brennan, then-Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, to discuss the dossier. And so putting together pieces from other sources, the Federalist and Newsweek, they have concluded that almost $11 million was paid to Perkins Coie by the DNC and Hillary Clinton, and that $972,000 was paid to the firm Perkins Coie for their work coming after Trump by, guess what, Obama for America. The line item only said legal services, but what legal services would have been paid for by Obama? Funny how I'm reading now from, I don't know what the source of this story is. I don't know who wrote this. I apologize. It's not on this. Funny how it has been more than 2 years and no one has bothered to ask this question. The fact is Obama has been working overtime to distance himself from the investigation into the origins of the Trump-Russia probe. It is clear, however, that he is in it up to his elbows, if not higher. Despite his responsibility to stay out of the election, Obama couldn't resist putting his finger on the scale, even after Trump was already elected. And then the question is asked, I wonder what he knows about Biden and Ukraine. And here's another story. In the investigation into Lieutenant General Flynn, and you remember that Sidney Powell is now his attorney. Sidney has been our guest several times. Sidney was a former federal prosecutor, and she is a bulldog, and seems to be, I don't know what's happening today in the last few weeks, but I know that Sidney is just applying everything, all guns blazing, at trying to expose what happened to General Flynn. And part of what's coming out is that they targeted him way back, I believe in 2015, before President Trump was even a candidate. And I've told you before, General Flynn was hated by the intelligence agencies because he outed them, basically, wanted to revamp them. He is the only person serving in the Obama administration. He was director of the Defense National Intelligence who went before Congress and really contradicted what the president was saying about what was happening, I believe, in Syria or Al-Qaeda at the time. And so there were a combination of things that made him a public enemy, number one, to the deep state, really. And so they started setting him up, according to what I'm reading from several sources, started setting up Michael Flynn before, long before President Trump ever became president, to try to destroy him, to try to set him up as a Russian asset. And so to make it appear as though he was, so that they could destroy him. That's what I think is happening here. So Sidney Powell, his attorney now, suddenly has subpoenaed, now stay with me, because I recognize this is very complex, two cell phones that have suddenly appeared that belong to this mysterious Joseph Mifsud. Now, in the Mueller report, Joseph Mifsud is, it's attributed to him that he's a Russian agent. He's a Russian asset. He's working for Russia. He is the one who met at that restaurant with Papadopoulos, the aide, the really young guy that worked on the Trump team, sort of, who was sent to Europe by another CIA asset who called him out of the blue, offered to give him money, send him to London to deliver this paper, and he was all excited, and then organized for him to have dinner with Joseph Mifsud, who Joseph then proceeds to tell him that the Russians, in fact, remember this is during the time when Mrs. Clinton's email or the topic of conversation when the DNC server was hacked, supposedly by the Russians. And so Mifsud is telling this young guy, Papadopoulos, that the Russians have all of Mrs. Clinton's missing email. They're the ones that know. And then Papadopoulos goes back and repeats it. And then they say, aha, he's meeting with a Russian. And that means that Papadopoulos is working with the Russians. Well, now we know that Mifsud was not really a Russian asset at all. He's a Western asset, has trained FBI agents. There have been all these investigations now. We know that he is linked to the West. He's linked to the FBI and some of our other agencies, State Department and others. It appears as though This whole thing was a complete setup. They set up Papadopoulos. Remember when he flew back to the States, they had agents at the airport ready to arrest him? Because somehow he was paid this money, which he ended up, his girlfriend at the time said, something's not right about this. Why are they paying you money? And so he put it in a safe somewhere in Europe and did not bring the money back with him and was contacting the authorities. And lo and behold, all these FBI agents were waiting for him at the airport to arrest him, looking, and they're going through all of his luggage. But he doesn't have the money because he didn't bring it back because he was too smart to fall for that. This is the most intriguing. No novel, you know, nothing that Tom Cruise could ever star in could be more intricate and interesting than this. So now Joseph Mifsud's cell phones have appeared. And Joseph Mifsud has disappeared, I might add. And you remember that, you might not remember, you probably don't. Mifsud sort of hung around Italy. That's kind of his home base. And it looks as though the president of Italy, now at the time, was really close friends with Barack Obama. So, and you remember now that the prosecutor, the investigator that William Barr has chosen to investigate this next part of everything has been spending a lot of time in Italy, as has William Barr. So it's just really intriguing, I have to tell you. Roger Simon has written a manageable piece on this for PJ Media. Mifsud's cell phones mean Barr investigation is heating up. So we'll put that on our Facebook page. But here's the other one I want to share with you. This is by Rowan Scarborough of Washington Times. Mystery of Joseph Mifsud, Key to Trump-Russia Probe Origin. And so the Washington Times has done a real deep dive on who this Mifsud was and who his contacts actually were. I synthesized it for you. Turns out that he is very much connected to the West and not Russia. So that's another thing to share with you. Now, here's an interesting tweet that was shared by a guy named Greg Rubini. I should know who he is, but I don't. But it was sent to me by someone that I do trust, who obviously knows who he is. And this is what he tweets. Imagine if at a dinner in Washington, D.C. in October 2016, you had John Brennan, director of the CIA, Susan Rice, Obama's national security advisor, together with, and this is the first time you've heard this name, but it's probably not the last. I've heard the name before myself. I just haven't shared it with you. I don't know if it's official, but I'm telling you now that people think that Eric Ciaramella is the whistleblower. Eric Ciaramella, that's Adam Schiff's whistleblower. That's Greg reports it as a fact. I haven't heard that, but I had heard the name a couple of weeks ago floated about by people that I know. And so he was at this dinner, John Brennan, Susan Rice, and then Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, John Kerry, Loretta Lynch, John Podesta, Tony Podesta, Valerie Jarrett, Samantha Powers, Leonardo DiCaprio. That dinner would just be just a couple of weeks before the 2016 elections. And yes, the dinner really happened. And John Brennan and Susan Rice were at that dinner together with Eric Ciaramella, the Adam Schiff whistleblower, with Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden. What does that tell you? There's more to that tweet, but if I get into it, it'll get lost. So I'll pick up with it tomorrow. But I just want you to see how amazing this all is becoming, and you're going to need a flow chart in your living room wall to keep up with it all. But I think that people instinctively know that something really is terribly rotten right now, and the wheels are coming off, but you're not going to hear that in mainstream media. So I'm happy to tell you, and we just pray that the truth prevails. We pray that the truth prevails. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.